This is a Wisp Politics audio clip. For more, go to wisppolitics.com.
Lowell Holtz, thanks for taking the time. Why don't we get started with your background? Tell me what you do for a living, a little bit about your history, that type of thing.
Sure. I grew up in the city of Milwaukee, where I learned a lot from my parents about giving back to the community. My dad was a Milwaukee police officer while I was growing up, and I watched when he retired at age 52 and went back to school to finish his training to be a pastor, and he was called to the church on 16th and National called St. Martini's, which later became one of the first voucher schools in Milwaukee under his leadership. I started my professional career as a third and fourth grade teacher in a small parochial school, and then later on, as our family grew, I became a police officer in Whitewater so I could earn my master's degree in admin from UW-Madison. And then upon graduation, I was offered a job in a really beautiful little school district that was between Madison and Whitewater called Cambridge. And later, I was offered a job as a principal in northern Wisconsin, where the board set the goal for higher academic achievement and reducing the need for special ed referrals. And I was blessed with a very creative superintendent and an outstanding group of educators, where we had a system that had a dramatic positive impact on student achievement. And we drastically reduced special ed referrals. And as a result of our efforts, the teachers and parents nominated me for the Wisconsin Principal of the Year. And after receiving that, I was then named as a National Distinguished Principal by the State Department of Education. So, I mean, it's great to be able to collaborate with some very talented people. And after earning my doctoral degree in educational leadership, I got that doctoral degree with an emphasis on curriculum and service. I took my first job as a superintendent in a small rural district. And again, you're going to notice a theme here. We focused on the success of our kids by using local control and lots of collaboration. And we were able to significantly increase achievement for our students and receive recognition for that.
What district was that?
That's Palmyra Eagle.
Okay.
I then had the opportunity to become a superintendent in a large urban school district that had been identified as a failing school district. And again, by focusing on that collaboration and local control, I united a very diverse urban community, very similar to the Milwaukee community, in support of a school district that was facing sanctions for failing to meet student achievement goals. They had major safety and security concerns, major truancy issues, large graduation achievement gaps. And so what we did is we again focused on the needs of our students in the community. We successfully addressed the safety needs, returned control of the classroom to our teachers, which when you return the control of the classroom to the teachers, it frees them up to do what they do best, which is increase the academic achievement of our students. As a result, achievement levels went through the roof. We slashed the achievement gap and increased the graduation rate. And last but certainly not least,
What district was that?
Was that?
Yeah.
that was Beloit.
Okay.
And then, by focusing on the need, I had the opportunity to apply the same concepts of educational success to a high-achieving suburban school district named Whitnall, which has a good part of Greenfield, all of Hills Corners, and a piece of Franklin. And not only were we successful in improving our achievement levels there, we had the highest ACT scores in school history. What brings me here today, though, is when I saw the articles in the State Journal and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that reported Wisconsin was the worst in the nation in graduation gaps and achievement gaps. I was shocked and, quite frankly, ashamed that we're failing an entire generation of kids. So I began my research on the statistics and found that we have more than 7,000 kids who fail to graduate and drop out every year. A conservative estimate is that we spend over $500 million on dropouts each and every year. And so, personally, I believe we've got to stop forcing kids to attend failing schools, and we need to provide opportunities for educational success. And honestly, that's what inspired me to run for state superintendent, because I know we can turn things around for our kids and their future.
Okay, and you are no longer at Whitnall, is that correct?
Right. When I decided to run for this position, I know it's a statewide position, and you really have to work hard to get the message out. So I was able to retire on June 30th, again, because I had the protective services background, so I was a police officer, and you can retire earlier then. So I retired at the end of June so I could spend the coming months leading up to the election getting the message out about this position.
Okay, and how old are you?
59. I had to think for a minute.
Okay. All right. So would you consider yourself conservative or liberal?
That's a good question. I have very traditional values, but I like to think of myself as conservative. You know, you take the conservative part off and put kid in there. The focus in a nonpartisan race like this has to be on our students and their future. I do believe in the need to return local control to our districts and eliminate the overreach of the federal government through programs like Common Core and the Student Identification System, because I learned quickly that every school district is unique with different strengths and needs. And so our local school districts need to have the freedom to provide the best education possible for their kids.
Okay. What is your position on 2011 Act 21, which gave the governor and DOA secretary oversight of the Department of Public Instruction's administrative rules? Now, that particular law has been overturned by the Supreme Court, but just I'm curious about what your take on that is.
All right. So I think you're talking about when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of retaining the state superintendent rulemaking authority?
Yes.
I'm in favor of the rulemaking authority, but I do believe we need to have more checks and balances in place. There is a lot of power in this position. Our government was built on a system of checks and balances, and I'd be in favor of investigating how we could provide more of that so it's less of a dictatorial type of position.
Okay. And where do you stand on school choice and its expansion in the state?
I'm a strong supporter of parents having the right to choose the best school for their child. Quite frankly, I'm a proponent of collaboration and friendly competition. I believe parents should have a choice in deciding what's in the best interest of their child. I have no problems with the concept of a voucher in every backpack. Public schools, parochial schools, private schools, choice schools, charter schools can all thrive in that kind of competitive yet supportive environment. And these programs do not have to take money away from our public schools. The only schools that honestly need to worry about competition are those that are failing. And it's within those failing districts that we need to give our parents the right to focus on the needs of their child. I mean, that's a basic right of a parent. All schools can successfully exist in that type of educational environment.
Okay. Okay. What is your opinion of the Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program for Milwaukee Public Schools? Are you familiar with that?
You like the voucher program?
No. In the past session, the legislature passed a law that it created this program that allowed the Milwaukee County Executive to appoint someone to oversee up to 5 schools that were failing. And then that, more recently, the person who was appointed, Damon Means, stepped down.
He's a great guy. It was a symbolic effort that was admirable because for one of the first times ever, it was trying to address the issue. And I was proud that they at least took albeit a baby step, to address the issue. But you do not change decades of failing schools and honestly, institutionalized racism from DPI that has accepted the failure of our minority students. You don't do that with a small effort. We can't accept it any longer. And so, and when you think about it, how can Wisconsin possibly be the worst in the nation when it comes to graduation gaps and achievement rates? I think we failed our students of color, and we failed them miserably, and we need to change it now. So I was happy that an effort was made, but it was way too small, and it's way too late for a small effort. We need to make a major effort to improve the system in Milwaukee.
Okay. And where do you stand on state funding for K through 12 schools? Do you think that it's adequate? Do you think more needs to go to it?
Well, for a long time, I bought into the idea of throwing more money at a problem to fix it. But I'm sure you heard this one before, but one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. After I did my research and I see the billions of dollars that have been wasted over the past years, I believe the answer has to be no. We need to spend our money more wisely. Instead of wasting the money on a failing system that's a drain on the taxpayers across the entire state, we need to work in collaboration with our communities and business leaders to turn around a failing system. that gives us the opportunity to reallocate those dollars into an educational success, educational system that will give our kids opportunities for more success and obviously give them those skills they need for employability.
All right. And what endorsements have you received?
Well, on the day I announced my candidacy, I received public endorsements from a former board president who was also a bank executive, the president of our local chamber of commerce, former teacher leaders, union leaders, a union administrator who helped us out a lot in turning around Beloit, and many other parents and former students. The mayor of Greenfield spoke and praised our collaborative partnership that not only strengthened the school district but the city as well. We really work hard together, and all while saving our taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars. I had retired Representative Don Pridemore and current Representative Tom Weatherston all give their statements of support. State Senator Mary Lazick gave a public endorsement praising the cooperation and collaboration we had when we focused on meeting the needs of our kids. We worked together closely over the past number of years, but honestly, I have to admit probably one of my favorite endorsements came from a former student who also happens to be the quarterback who won the most games in the history of UW-Madison football. So I have a wonderful recording of support from Joel Stavi, which we will soon have on our conservative.org website.
All right. Okay, well, that wraps up the questions that I had. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
People like to blame each other a lot when there's a problem, but I think what we need to focus on is collaborating. Low-performing schools are not the fault of teachers, parents, or students. They're the fault of the system that's currently in place. And we cannot continue to lose more than 7,000 children per year because we do not have the knowledge or the courage to put a system in place that will lead to their success. And I am very passionate about the need to increase the opportunities for success for all of our kids. I really think DPI needs to lead the charge and embrace the opportunities for our kids. So that's why I'm in this, and that's why I think it's really important to get the message out.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Chris.